This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
There is a queer angle to every issue, and we will find it. But don't expect us to be nice or politically correct. Nothing is sacred, and the team will be finding the queer and profane wherever we can on Joy 94.9. Is nothing sacred?
Hi there, Joysters. You are on Joy 94.9 on Is Nothing Sacred. This is Jim, and I'm here with Kurt and James and Pat.
Evening, hello,
guys.
Hey.
It's a boys' night tonight. Steph is away in Sydney playing at Mardi Gras, and we've got a special guest in the studio tonight, James Fielding. Hello, James.
Hi.
And boys. James is going to talk to us about deniers, science deniers.
I think we're going to have to just create a little system. So it's James F is our guest today, and James C, or we'll call him Cooper.
Call him Cooper.
We'll call him Cooper. So we've got
James
Coops. And he sounds like a David Lynch character.
Sounds like something out of Titan Men, doesn't he? Really. We'll put a photograph of him on the Facebook page and show you that he doesn't look like somebody out of Titan Men just at the moment.
Thanks, Jim.
He's wearing a preppy shirt instead.
Okay, we've just referenced.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLB, TIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Yes, Joyce, as you are on Is Nothing Sacred on Joy 94.9. And you can text us on 0427 Joy 949, or you can email us in on onair@joy.org.au. Or you can ring Robert on the front desk. Hello, Robert. Robert's doing program support tonight.
Thank you, Robert.
On 1300 JOY 949, and you can send us a message. And we have got in the studio tonight, James Fielding, looking resplendent in green.
Oh, thank you.
I'm going to call it teal. But that's me being picky.
Well, I think it's a bit off teal, actually.
Anyway.
And James is an epidemiologist, amongst other things, but he's also passionate about people who deny evidence, and as you know, listeners, we are often talking on here about people who deny the evidence of evolution, or deny the evidence of climate change, or deny the evidence of vaccinations, and we've had quite a few programs about those items. So, James, tell us about why you're passionate about science.
Well, I've been interested in science ever since I was a youngster, and I originally got into microbiology for my undergraduate degree, but then I wanted to look at things more from a population health perspective, and always had something about an interest in infectious diseases. Infectious diseases is one of those things that I think everyone has an interest in, because everyone is susceptible to infectious diseases. So whenever I go to a party or something, or it's some social event and people ask me what I do, and I say I'm an infectious diseases epidemiologist, it's always a guaranteed conversation starter. Sometimes it goes in slightly crazy directions. But as
they're
a scientist,
asking you about their STIs, aren't they?
Yes. I can just imagine.
But yeah, as a scientist, I question everything, and so I'm, you know, guided by evidence and always seeking the truth. And so when I see people that are expressing opinions but haven't been informed by any type of evidence, or there's no science to back their claims, or they've made no effort to research their position, it just makes me very upset, and try to convince them about the need to be informed.
Speaking of people who usually deny, or we did actually contact the Australian Vaccination Network to try and have a discussion air tonight. So I just want to warn people, we did try and get the opposition with this one. So we're not just joining the cause of, well, truth.
I guess it's important to, I mean, the name as well, the Australian Vaccination.
It's misleading, isn't it? It's rather foul. And I mean, their whole thing, I was looking it up, they say, you know, oh, there's two sides to every argument.
They don't give two sides,
but
though.
They give another side to the argument. Whether there's any, you know, fact behind it is to be, never found. But it frightens me, though, that James, they use such a name like that.
Would you say, James, that perhaps by almost inviting them, that, you know, if they just sort of have run that argument, well, there's two sides to every argument, they're almost giving themselves way too much part of the argument and way too much credit?
Oh, definitely. I mean, the evidence is largely against everything that they're saying, and they're misrepresenting certain facts in a lot of instances.
In fact worse than that, aren't they? They use that old study that shows that's been totally discredited about triple antigen vaccine causing autism.
Yeah, the Wakefield study, which has been completely
discredited.
And how it even got published in the first place is really a bit of a mystery. But even their name is completely misrepresented because it sounds like they're taking a position to give information about vaccines, but actually they're coming from a biased perspective.
Sure. So we did an interview with Senator Richard Di Natale and the Senate in general, we should give kudos to, who passed a motion basically condemning it and saying that it should be disbanded. So what there has already been a lot done to try and to shut them down and that kind of thing. I suppose, how can we learn from the way the anti-vaccination network has worked in being an effective in certainly parts of Australia in scaring people into thinking that, how can we learn about it in other aspects of scepticism or pseudo-scepticism in terms of denialism?
I'm not sure actually that shutting them down is really the right approach because it then invites accusations of censorship. Mm. And I think, I mean, one of the important things about living in a democracy is that everyone has free speech. And, I mean, they're entitled to give their opinion and, base it on whatever flimsy evidence they might have. But then it's also up to scientists and the media and other people that can be critical to take them to task and for them to defend their position as well. And I mean, I think that applies generally across all areas.
But we do have to have a free media, don't we, or a balanced media to to get those opinions across.
Absolutely.
Well, we'll talk more about this in just a moment, but first of all, we're going to some messages.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
You're with James, Kurt, Steph and Pat on Is Nothing Sacred?
Joy 94.9.
Yes, you are on Joy 94.9 and on Star Observer Digital in Sydney. Welcome, Sydney Siders. I hope you're having a good Mardi Gras up there. And we're talking with James Fielding tonight about science deniers, and we've just got on to the thing we always get to, which is the anti-vaxxers, and we've had that topic done to death, really, in many ways. We have talked a bit about creation in the past, and the creationists who try to say that evolution doesn't exist.
I find it very interesting that they had the Creationist Museum in Kentucky. And obviously this has recently
run
had a
by
bit.
An Australian.
Run by an Australian. I told Jim about that. This was Ken Ham.
Ken Ham. He's a madman.
Recently that had got a little bit more attention because of the debate between him and I've forgotten the gentleman's name, the scientist's name. Anyone want to help me out here?
I know which one you're talking about.
An amazing science communicator, but yes, I've also forgotten the name.
I'm going to say Bill someone. Is that correct?
Bill Nye.
Bill Nye, thank you.
It was on CNN Live.
It was, but I think the beautiful thing, obviously, when we talk a lot about people who do deny is, I mean, this is obviously coming from a religious perspective. We'll go into other forms of denial about science. But the beauty of that was when someone gave the question, what would make you change your opinion? And Bill Nye said evidence and Ken Ham said nothing. Mm. And I find that bizarre why you would be so strong, like a belief that ends up just annihilating any form of change. And I mean, as humans, we all believe that we're right. Most of the time we're wrong. I know definitely on this show, I have been frequently wrong, frequently very wrong. But
no, you haven't. Pat.
Yes,
because
I
you
have.
Wouldn't still be on here if you were frequently wrong.
Oh, maybe it's just nepotism. But it's it frightens me. And I wonder, what is your perspective into that? Why do people just refuse? Why do they refuse?
I don't know. I can't answer that because I really have no...
insight?
Yeah, no insight. But, I mean, I think indoctrination has a lot to do with it. I mean, religious indoctrination starts with kids at a very young age. And I think a lot of people feel some sense of guilt in denying that. Others are able to overcome that and take more of an open mind and question things.
I'm curious to know, is there something that you would, that you find that you had a bit of in, I don't know if this is in science or in just everyday life, that you have had a situation where you want to refuse its existence, maybe in your work as well? Is there something that you've gone, that you, maybe not so much that you've wanted to refuse, or maybe you've thought, oh.
I bet James wanted to refuse that the fact that sun-dried tomatoes full of salmonella at one
stage. Well, yeah, I mean, there's certain, yeah, if you're, for example, as Jim has alluded to, if you're investigating some sort of outbreak and you're really looking hard for the source and making mm-hmm. all these investigations, you really want to find, you want to have that eureka moment.
Source. Where you want to find the culprit.
Where you find the source. And, of course, you've got to use, you know, a variety of statistical methods to, you know, get some sort of probability that that you found the result. And so, you know, you want to believe
you're trying every single avenue to discover if what you've...
Yeah, as a scientist, of course, your principles always take you back to, you know, assessing the evidence.
And not creating an inference so early that, in fact, it's ludicrous.
Yeah, which is, yeah,
but
bias.
But in all these things, there is evidence. And today I was having a discussion with a colleague at work, we were talking about the fact that a number of Victorian school principals have decided they're not having religious education in their schools anymore.
And fantastic quote, by the way, by one of the principals.
And this colleague of mine has got a school-aged child, and she said they withdrew him from the school because her husband went to the school and sat through two religious education classes, and he said it was just absolute textbook brainwashing method.
Yeah, well, it's not education.
So all they do is play DVDs that assert things over and over and over again, the same statement over and over and over again.
I'm all for comparative religious studies, though.
Well, comparative religious studies is a different thing.
I find it fascinating. I'm sorry, I know I'm slightly changing it. I know it is different. I actually grew up with religious education classes, and I'm fine. But...
Well, that's for us to judge.
Pat, I actually think that's actually a perfect example, though. But comparative religious studies and being preached at by what Access Ministries calls is exactly the difference. One is talking about, you know, learning and about comparing things, which is, you know, is exactly what we're talking about, is a more positive. Whereas I think, you know, being told to that this is the answer,
being
this
told
is
a fact.
Well, now
fact,
we're going to really disagree because I don't think we should teach comparative religious studies unless
Why
we're
not?
Going to. Because
but
I think
okay.
we ought to teach ethics. And
I would
ethics
agree with that too.
And I ethics, agree with that.
And
as
if
well.
if you taught ethics in schools rather than comparative religion just then gives people a chance to choose between nonsense.
Well, but there is a thing, also an argument to base about the fact that it's also talking about culture. And you don't, and it's not saying that you have to believe in it. There's nothing in comparative religious studies that is saying you one of these is true. Pick. It is saying. Look at what this says is and work out why that came about.
Every religion is going to say that it's true. And so if you're going to do comparative religion, you have to actually say, this is what the religion believes. The religion believes blah, it's true. That's the first point for all of them. Can't all be true. So if you're going to really teach comparative religious studies, it should be a philosophical discussion or an ethical discussion about the meaning of truth and evidence.
I agree about that.
So you're coming back to what we're talking about in the first place.
Because my issue... I love that people say, oh, we should teach ethics. But the problem that I find is that then people start getting to the muddy waters of, and I'm not saying I'm agreeing with religious education either. It's one of those ones where people just go, let's teach ethics. Fantastic. How? And people, because everyone's ethics will have slight variations upon them. And
yeah, it's called
obviously
humanity.
But a lot of ethics also do have some founding, or at least in the discussions about them have some founding in a religious thing. So that still comes across. I mean, people talk about Christian values. And what is Christian values? It's just being a good person, even though most of the time it's not, it isn't. Because
but
people say, oh, it's a Christian value.
There is
no,
actually
it isn't.
Plenty
you're being
of neuros-
a human
There's plenty
value.
Of new- yeah. neuroscience around to show that ethics are hardwired into us and that they're not religiously based. And people that have no religion and are brought up with no religion have the same ethical often the same or very similar ethical background beliefs, because they require them to live in a society that is going to support them and be humanist.
Mm. And well, you're on Joy 94.9. Is nothing sacred?
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Yes, you are on Joy 94.9 on Is Nothing Sacred, and you're also, if you're in Sydney, listening to us on Sydney Star Observer Digital, your sex, sexuality and gender diverse station that's on for the period of Mardi Gras. Welcome, Sydneysiders. And you can text us on 0427-JOY-949 or call us on Robert on the front desk on 1300-JOY-949, or you can email us on onair@joy.org.au. And we are talking about science deniers tonight. So that is anti-vaccination, anti-climate or climate change deniers and creationists.
Absolutely. James, you were talking before about your experiences when you go to parties and everything where you get in discussions with people. I suppose where we've come to today, there's certain ways that you can be taught as well. So you can be taught something like they're a fact, or you can have more of an inquisitive mind, a skeptical mind, shall we say. In your time of working, what have you found has been a good way to deal with someone who thinks that they're skeptical, but they're just being perhaps a denialist? They're just cherry picking what they want to believe.
Yeah, that's a really interesting question. I mean, I think the first approach that I usually take with people like that is to just find out in the first instance whether they're prepared to have their mind changed. So, I mean, many people, they'll take a point of view on something, and you can talk to them till you're black and blue in the face, but they're still not going to change their mind. And I think with those people, you really just have to give up, because you're not going to be able to.
You have to go to the kitchen and get a drink, really, don't you?
Yes,
there's no chance.
Get them a drink as well. There's just no chance. But I think like other people that sometimes they might even think, oh yeah, actually maybe it's quite a direct question, and so.
Do you have an example of that, of one that you can think of that maybe is related to some of your research, or is it something more like climate change or anything like that?
Not really that I can think of, because I'm like climate change issues in particular tend to be quite polarising.
How so?
People tend to lean very strongly one way or the other.
Why do you think that's the case, that everyone's very strong about it, though?
I guess just because the consequences are so important.
The origins of climate change denial came out of the religious right in the States, and it was all about how God gave us this world and God would look after this world for us, and it was a gift and we could do with it as we wanted.
In Australia, a lot of the rhetoric, though, hasn't been around so much about religion. It's been more about that people just refuse to believe it because, what was it, something like, oh, but it's colder there. That means that the world's not getting warmer.
They're using isolated incidents.
They use isolated incidents to, which I suppose on the other side of it, we go, well, it's very hot.
It's
very hot for a long period of time.
And we've had bushfires.
That's the problem. Yeah, people are just cherry picking facts that they want to use. And there's many different measures of climate change. So it's just not the average surface temperature, it's ocean temperatures as well, because the oceans absorb
so much more heat.
Yeah. It's about, polar ice caps and glacial retreat and the rising sea levels.
I mean, and the build-up of carbon in the atmosphere.
Yeah,
so that can all be measured.
Yeah, and so there's all these different measures that are suggesting that this is really happening. And some commentators are just cherry-picking aberrant years, which seem to go against the trend, and using that as, some kind of...
All that nonsense about you can't see carbon in the air, you can't see air, so how do you know?
Yeah, it's absurd.
Please don't tell me that's an actual argument.
It is an argument.
So it's the complexity of these concepts and, concepts which are basically about, climate change, or whether it be immunology or whether it be a whole range of scientific issues. Is it the complexity that is getting people, potentially?
I think, for sure. And I think communicating complexity to lay audiences a very challenging thing. And I think scientists, to generalise, are not great communicators. And, I mean, their specialised expertise lies in conducting experiments for the most part. Some are very good communicators. But sometimes there's a difficulty in translation of the technical detail.
And I know, look, I know we're running out of time much, but I have to mention that I was actually at a great talk tonight at the Melbourne Town Hall with Tim Flannery. And I think that that's a good example of where someone's potentially going into more of the science communication role and is really trying to communicate in a layman's way to public. Would you potentially say there's someone like that in who can communicate, you know, your field to people?
Yeah, there certainly are. And I think... Yeah, these people really need to, you know, try and come to the fore, I guess.
Step up.
Yeah, and it's I mean, of course, it's
the
difficult.
The greatest science communicator in the world is David Attenborough, isn't he?
Yeah.
I mean, look at the way that people cling on to those fabulous programs on the rise of animals that are on at the moment and the rise of mammals and life on Earth.
And check out our Facebook page about that.
Because he's also talked a little bit about creationism and climate change skeptics and gone, he's had enough.
Yeah.
I want to wrap it up as well, asking about the people who are the laymen who want to discover more and they want to find out more. They may be just going, I don't know anything about climate change, or I've read this, I don't know. The media is not helping me because it's either one way or the other. Where exactly would you take them?
Look, I mean, that can be quite challenging. I mean, for me, I would take them to the scientific literature. I mean, there's websites out there that can search the literature. And, I mean, some of the literature, of course, can be quite dense and difficult to understand.
What type of websites, though, would you be hanging out for? Because anyone can make a website for finding scientific literature specifically.
Yeah, so there's one called PubMed at the National Library of Medicine at the National Institutes of Health in the US.
Yep.
That is a very good search engine for biological papers. But, I mean, even things like the IPCC has like technical documents on climate change and why they...
That's the International Panel on Climate Change.
Yes.
The United Nations Agency.
Yeah, but accompanying all their technical documents are also lay documents as well. And so, I mean, that's a really good point to start.
That'd be like really a summary almost.
Yeah, it's sort of like an abstract, and there's dot points for media and dot points for policymakers. And, I mean, even going through that, it's quite straightforward language.
And if you search on your favourite search engine, everybody, plain English or plain speaking and then climate change or so on and then IPCC, you will actually pull up those parts of their website.
I went to the IPCC. I just typed in IPCC tonight and was able to get a nice 2-page summary of the findings of their latest report. So
fantastic. Thank you so much for being in the studio with us, James.
My
it's pleasure.
Been
Thank absolutely
you for
wonderful.
Having me.
Thank you. You're on Is Nothing Sacred on Joy 94.9.
You can find more Joycasts and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
You're with Steph, James, Kurt and Pat on Is Nothing Sacred?
Yes, you are on Joy 94.9 and you're on Sydney Star Observer Digital in Sydney on your sex, sexuality and gender diverse station for Mardi Gras. Welcome, everybody. And we've been talking tonight with James Fielding and we've just thrown James out of the studio and we've got another guest now. We've got the anchor for absolutely everybody, which is the Wednesday 12 o'clock show on Joy, which is a show that is about social inclusion, diversity and social inclusion. And I'm very happy to say that I was part of the planning group for this show, and it's a terrific idea, and it's been sponsored by Anecto, which is an organisation which is based out in Footscray, which makes sure that services that are available to various groups of people in the community are wholly inclusive of all different groups. And so it was a perfect fit with Joy to have them on. Welcome, Lucy. Lucy Murphy is here to talk to
us. Thank you, Jim. I have to say, though, I'm not the anchor. I actually am part of the team that actually I do more panelling than the anchor. So that actually role belongs to Julia Butler. So hello to all the absolutely everybody team.
And so Amy's on with you, isn't she?
Yes, Amy Tingay and Jodie Henry and Trevor Scary. Just had to remember his name then. Sorry, Trevor.
Hello, guys. I'm sure you're all listening. We all listen to you on Wednesdays at lunchtime, so you must be up listening to us. Jodie's probably trying to get her children to sleep.
No doubt.
So what would you like to plug about absolutely everybody?
So I got the gig to come in tonight because the others couldn't come in this late, as you said, due to children. So I guess the main thing we wanted to invite people was to actually join in the conversation about human rights and social inclusion. Absolutely everybody's, that's the main focus. So we've started the first show in January to really invite the conversation about what are the things as people includes us or excludes us. So we've covered things such as workplace diversity, sorry day, racism.
So this can be inclusion of all sorts of groups. So LGBTI inclusion, or
absolutely
people with disabilities inclusion, or racial inclusion.
Yes. So it's really focusing on those things that, as I said, exclude people, and including all of those groups. So obviously there is a particular focus.
How do you actually tackle the issue of where, if some of those groups actually are excluding in themselves?
In the shows, so I guess that's in the invitation that we actually ask people to talk about. So get them to really think about what are the things that they're doing in their daily lives or in the work that they're doing, particularly within those groups. To think about, are they how are they getting people to contribute to the conversations that they're having or the work that they're doing, and it's really interesting is that sometimes the unintended consequences of some of the work that we do actually exclude people without even thinking about it. So it might be the language that we're using. It might be even inviting certain groups to the table. Unintended consequences of that is that you accidentally exclude those others who could be in that conversation as well.
Well, I mean, I think that probably the most controversial one of those is where you have from religiously based service providers and whether or not they can be inclusive.
Yeah, is
it possible for a religiously based service provider to actually be inclusive if they're going to adhere to their religious base and also try and be inclusive of all the things that they deny in their religious base?
I think that's a really interesting question, Jim. And
it sort of comes out of the previous discussion we were having tonight about deniers. Right.
Okay, I didn't hear that. it's a really interesting question, and I don't think I am able to answer on behalf of those groups. But what I would say is that the show is actually asking people and organisations to think about that topic and to think about what are they doing or what services they're providing that might exclude people. So it's just getting the subject out there and I guess it out on the table for people to really think about it.
But sometimes it's you're not aware, completely
exactly.
Unaware.
And also people do need to find a pathway through within their own philosophical standpoint. I mean, I think it's really interesting at the moment watching the Catholic Church with the new Pope talking about LGBTI people. And I noticed there's been a lot of stuff around just recently about the Archbishop of Dublin saying, if you hate gays and lesbians, you're not homophobic, you're actually godophobic, because God loves everybody. And though if you hate people that God loves, then... So he's trying to actually put it in... I mean, I disagree with him, but he's trying to put it in the context of his own religious belief and to find something logical within an illogical framework that says this is how we can make this work.
And I think that's this type of work calls on leadership at every level. So whether it's sitting in a conversation one-on-one just to ask a person who, you know, has been excluded for whatever reason, just to, how are you, what are you doing, come and have a coffee, to, as you say, an organisation that actually unintendedly excludes people because of some of the hierarchy or the policies. It actually just it requires leadership to actually say, hang on a minute, maybe there is something that we can do differently.
I mean, in disability services, ages ago when we first started talking about disability, when I first started working around that sector, it was all the, you know, people used to say, oh, you can't do this because it's going to be so costly to widen all the doors and put ramps and all that sort of stuff. It's not actually that expensive and it can be done. And successfully, we've done it.
Yeah.
And the benefits that have come from that inclusiveness, I suppose.
Absolutely. And there are some fantastic work that is being done around development and building development and looking at how the community is actually built to actually enable people to actually be included. So it's not necessary. It's really looking at that really broad societal view, is that often it's our environment that excludes us as well. So the other thing is it's, by actually with those designs and widening doors and things like that, that in the past was a funding issue, we've actually included a whole another group of people, such as mothers with prams, and you know,
so it's not just one group. You're looking after a whole bunch of other communities as well,
and so
subsections of group.
Absolutely, I remember being a nanny in London about 15 years ago, and
you're not old enough to have done that.
Stop it, Jim. And I had a double pram, and I could not get into any buildings. You know, I remember trying to update my passport one day, and I just couldn't get into the building. So I used to have to, I hate to say this, but literally keep one eye on the door, like through the glass on the babies, while I quickly ran into a shop just
you
to get something.
You are kidding
to...
me.
I know. So yeah. I just...
Didn't you just have a bicycle lock? Lock the babies in the pram and
I have admitted a terrible crime.
That's all right.
It's really... That's the thing. Otherwise, you just... When that physical environment is not... you just can't get around it. It makes it really hard to do everyday things.
Well, it's all about having systems and environments that are enabling, isn't it?
Yeah.
And that's what this talk is about, really.
Absolutely. And so it's about all sorts of systems. So, you know, looking at the higher level policy, you know, building standards, all of those types of things to policymakers about human rights. To how that then translates to organisations. And the types of things that you were talking about before, Jim, is that as organisations, we're really well-intended. Services are really well-intended, but sometimes we actually do exclude people just by not having the right things in place to think about who else should be in the room. And if we do something, what are the unintended consequences of excluding certain groups and certain people?
And in the LGBTI community, for instance, the rights of partners to go into hospitals is a key example of exclusion, isn't it?
Yeah.
And
You're on Is Nothing Sacred on Joy 94.9. We've just been chatting with Lucy Murphy from Absolutely Everybody. We'll be back very shortly.
To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
You're with Steph, James, Kurt and Pat on Is Nothing Sacred? Joy 94.9.
You are on Joy 94.9 on Is Nothing Sacred, and in Sydney on Star Observer Digital, your sexuality and gender diverse station. And we're talking with Lucy Murphy from Absolutely Everybody. I nearly told her she was from Is Nothing Sacred because the two shows are very similar. Absolutely Everybody, Wednesday midday on Joy 94.9. And it's Joy's program sponsored by Anecto, the People Network, and it's about human rights and inclusion. And we're talking about the various things around human rights, inclusion and services and service delivery tonight and what the show is trying to achieve.
Lucy, I just wanted to ask a question. Is it because you were talking at the beginning about discovering, you know, having that conversation and discovering and learning from talking to people about how people may be excluded or may unintentionally exclude others. I think it was good to hear also that you're going to go into perhaps the practical things that are limiting and the whether they be systems or
it's
whatever.
It's not just all ideological.
Yeah, what they may be.
Yeah.
If there are people out there listening who do have expertise in particular areas, you know, what kind of people do you want to be talking to later on in terms of if you do identify these things, will you be talking to experts, do you think, or talking to people in bureaucracies and that kind of thing?
Absolutely. So we very much welcome anybody who has anything to contribute to the topics of people being included or excluded. You can contact Jodie Henry via the Absolutely Everybody Radio page on Facebook or at Enecto at jodie.henry@enecto.org.au. So we very much welcome anybody who has some really interesting topics to discuss about inclusion. And the other thing is we'd love to hear from people who have particular areas of interest that, you know, that they may be feeling excluded or are doing things in their local community that are inviting other people in who they're noticing being excluded. So, for example, our first show of the year was actually focusing on looking out for your neighbour. You know, so it's not just about being excluded.
Which was a good thing to have on during the heat waves, wasn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah, it really was. Actually, and because what we particularly, Enecto, who I work for, we actually work with people who experience disability and people who are ageing. So often that group, those two groups are limited sometimes in you know, when it's hot or in the holidays, when everybody else is doing things in a way, is that they are often very vulnerable to actually not getting out in their communities as often, you know, due to access or due to just the physical environment is often hard.
So isolation is not actually about living a long way away from anybody. It's about being unconnected or people not looking out for you.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
And so when you're looking at our Facebook pages, Nothing Sacred on Joy 94.9, listeners, just flip across to the Enecto, to the Absolutely Everybody Radio Facebook page, which is just near us, and have a look at theirs too. And you'll see there is a great similarity between Absolutely Everybody and Is Nothing Sacred.
And what you guys are going to be talking about this week, very quickly.
Yes, very quickly. So we have Kirsten Dean, from who was the Deputy Campaign Director of the Everybody Counts campaign that is very closely linked to the NDIS, and she'll be talking about the idea that it's not the NDIS, it won't be just about dollars for people to actually have support packages, but it's actually about what investment we're going to put into the community to enable people to be included. So, you know, that's another topic in itself. And the other guest we'll have on is Erin Michelson, who is a philanthropist, she actually goes around the world looking at different projects that she can actually fund, and they'll be giving away one of her books on the show. And if you actually go on to the Absolutely Everybody Radio Facebook page, is that if you make a comment about her book Adventure Philanthropist, is that you'll be have an opportunity to...
You'll be in the draw. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for coming in, Lucy.
It's been an
absolute pleasure. So everyone listening to Absolutely Everybody Wednesdays at noon on Joy 94.9.
And thanks so much for the opportunity to talk to you all.
That's fantastic.
We like having co-joy shows on.
You're listening to Is Nothing Sacred on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.